This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I hope you listeners heard last week's episode of the Paracast and After the Paracast with Morgan Knudsen. Fascinating woman. Lots of fascinating things to talk about. And she had a blast, by the way. We were kind of chatting after the episode with a few messages. So she enjoyed it. And like I said, we did another 40 minutes or so with After the Paracast. And we've been doing that quite a bit lately, where part two of the episode goes into the premium show. You still get a full episode of the Paracast, but there's more to say. If you're interested in hearing it, you've got to join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. One more thing. Earlier this week, some of you might have noticed that for periods of time, the Paracast.com, the forums, etc., were offline. And I know we rag on Microsoft for the troublesome glitches with Skype. We should really rag on the domain name system, because that was what it was all about. We were switching what we call our DNS servers for the site to get better security, you know, redundancy and all that kind of stuff. Fewer points of failure. But the process of changing the DNS on domain, like theparacast.com or whatever it is, it doesn't just happen. You don't just turn a switch. It has to propagate to servers around the world, which would sometimes and frequently take 2 or 3 days. And during that period, you can't guarantee a thing. And this is what, 2019, and the internet was invented how many years ago? Don't you think it's time they fix the DNS system?
It's come a long way, but it's still got a ways to go, no doubt about that. I really liked Morgan Knudsen's attitude. You know, she's got the book, Teaching the Living. And, you know, for someone who is working with what might commonly be thought of as sort of a dark kind of thing, working with afterlives and the dead and hauntings and spooky stuff like that, she is so positive. And that's what she tries to bring to her people that she works with. It just comes right out of her. It's so amazing. Yeah, she was really fun to have on the show and interesting too. And not totally one of the sort of evangelical types who are promoting the idea of afterlives and save your soul and that sort of thing. She doesn't know the answers for sure. She believes something's going on, just like with UFOs, which now that brings us to this week's guest.
Well, this week's guest is interesting. He's another real, genuine scientist, okay? You know, they say, why aren't scientists interested in UFOs? And they haven't heard people like William Puckett. And you're looking at this guy here. He worked with the National Weather Service. He worked with the EPA. This guy is a scientist. In fact, very quickly, I was saying to him, William, maybe I should ask you about climate change, but only briefly. Will we survive it?
That's a good question. Thanks for having me on your show, by the way. It's a privilege to be here. Well, climate change is something I could go talk forever about. Whether or not we survive it, I guess that's what I would say is a $64,000 question right now. Definitely, it's time to take action. And action being we need to phase out fossil fuels, and we need to possibly geoengineer the climate or start removing the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Some countries are already doing this. I heard that, I believe it was Sweden, it might have been Norway. By 2025, they're going to have phase out completely gas-powered engines. It'll be all electric cars and trucks. And you folks up there in Canada just imposed a carbon tax. That's the type of thing that has to be done right away. The sooner the better. Carbon dioxide is an inert gas. It doesn't react. The only way that it is assimilated from the atmosphere is by photosynthesis, by plants. It has up to 100,000-year residency. A molecule of carbon goes in the atmosphere today, could stay there for 100,000 years. So methane, which is also a greenhouse gas, is reactive. So it's a greenhouse gas, but it has a shorter residency time. So, you know, the time is now. And as a citizen, I said, well, I can't influence any politicians. I took my own action. I got solar panels on my house. They generate 12 megawatts of energy per year. Right now, I'm exporting about a megawatt of energy more per year into the grid than I'm using. So Northwest Energy, a local utility company, is making about $120 a year on me. I also have a Chevrolet Volt electric car, runs on gas a little bit when it's cold or if you go out in the highway. And I plug in that car during the daytime when my solar panels are cranking up to about 7,000 or 8,000 watts, and all that energy going into my Volt is coming right from our star system. So I figure I'm doing my part. So
have you figured out how long it'll take you to recoup the cost of all of your solar setup in terms of energy savings?
I will not at my age. I will not recoup the cost unless I live to 95 years old. Maybe I will. I don't know. But
so what does it take right now? But what does that mean? About 20 years or something? I don't know. You know,
I'm 72, so I do a little arithmetic. I put them in a little over 2 years ago. But it's a win-win for the environment because, you know, if I do die, well, someone else is going to have my house, and they last 25 years, solar panels, before they lose their ability to charge. Right. So either way, it's a win-win for the environment.
Well, they are getting better and better and better all the time with the solar panels thing. I was looking at a video on YouTube, and they've had these for a while now, but they're solar panel roof tiles.
Yes.
You know? I mean, shingles, basically. Yes. You can nail right through them and put them on just like your regular shingles, and right. Every one of them takes energy and turns it into electricity. It's really quite amazing.
Right. So it's a problem. And, you know, the real difficulty is, I mean, we have politicians down here in the United States, well, other countries do too, that, you know, they want to get every gram of coal out of the ground and every ounce of oil. And the situation is that, you know, we need to phase all that out. I don't mean putting people out of work. I think that if people lose their jobs to fossil fuel, they should be replaced with green energy. But, you know, the time to start is now. But a lot of people get hung up on climatic aberrations. I mean, like here in Montana, we had some really abnormally cold weather in March this year. It's the first time in the 8 years since I moved back to Montana that we set any low temperature records. It was 32 below zero here on the 4th of March, and it tied an all-time low record for March. Some people say, well, how can we have global warming? You know, we're getting all this cold weather. Well, the truth of the matter is that the jet stream is more sluggish because the jet stream exchanges energy between the poles and the equator. If it wasn't for the jet stream, the poles would get colder and colder and the equator would get warmer and warmer. But with the poles warming up faster than the equator, the jet stream is weaker. So you get what you call troughs and ridges where the jet stream is flowing north and south or at least a good component. And it moves slower. So when you get what they call this polar vortex, it might sit in one spot longer. So you get these cold weather outbreaks that last and last, and that's what's going on. And then all this record snowfall, the reason for that is there's more water vapor in the atmosphere because the poles are, the ice caps are melting.
We got to break it here. We got more to come, and we'll wrap up the discussion of climate change because he's a UFO guy also. But we wanted to show that scientists are really interested in the subject, too. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
William Puckett is our guest. Obviously, he is a meteorologist. He's worked for National Weather Services and the EPA. And we were talking briefly about the impact of climate change. I'm kind of wondering, too, here, if we have aliens out there coming to visit Earth, one hopes they've figured out how to solve this? Or are they coming here because they already destroyed their planet?
The first thing I'll say, since I've been doing UFO investigations roughly since 1997, so 22 years, I do not have, in any case I've ever looked at, incontrovertible evidence that alien species are here. I don't have a piece of a flying saucer. I do not have DNA, assuming that there would be DNA if we found one. I suspect there would. I've had samples taken in the vicinity of UFOs that show very unusual metallic alloys that material specialists will say, I don't know what that is from, but it doesn't say that it's an extraterrestrial component. But do I believe that we've been visited, are being visited? Yes, I do, but I cannot prove it. Perhaps that's kind of a short answer to your question, in my opinion.
What got you interested in UFOs?
I grew up in the 1950s. I'm dating myself. And the 1950s, UFOs were really headlines in the news. You know, I very vividly recall the Loveland, Texas sightings in 1957, about the time the Russians launched Sputnik. Raleigh's car engine shut off in Texas. And it just created a national panic. I was scared of them in those days, but then in the late 1970s and early 1980s, a lot of cable TV stations started to air documentaries on UFOs, and I'd watch them and say, you know, I want to do that. So that got me into investigating. I also read the original Project Blue Book when it was released in the 1970s after the Blue Book was declassified. And Blue Book had like 11 or 12,000 cases, and they had like 750 were unidentified. And I said, it only takes one. That's quite a few. So that was the impetus that got me interested in the UFO phenomenon.
What are some of the best cases, in your opinion, that led you to believe that alien visitation is a reality?
Well, some of the cases that I heard about, you know, the Rendlesham Forest case in England was a really reliable case, not one that I personally investigated, but one that I heard about where security people were out in the woods and the UFOs were buzzing around, and they went and told their commanding officer, and they showed up the next night. In addition to showing up the next night, they started showing up by their nuclear, what they call their nuclear igloos, and they knew right where their nuclear igloos were. You know, that was a security thing. So that case, and then another one was in Texas, Cash Landrum incident, where these UFOs caused massive radiation burns to Betty Cash. She subsequently died from cancer and believed that, you know, it was due to the radiation from the UFO. Of course, Roswell, I mean, that's a long case that's been exhaustively aired in documentaries and discussed in talk shows and a very wide range of discussion. And so those cases kind of stand out as what got me interested originally in the UFO phenomenon.
Did you ever see one?
No, I've never seen anything that I would attribute as UFO. I mean, I'm a scientist. I have a high level of scrutiny where I would consider. I have photographed them and not seen them. When I was a MUFON investigator in Washington State, I'm still a MUFON investigator. I'm actually Montana State Director, but in those days, I was a field investigator for MUFON in Washington. I went out and investigated a case, and I took photographs in all the cardinal directions. And when I got back and looked at the photographs, I found a boomerang-shaped object in the background of one of the photographs. What was it? I don't know. Was it a UFO? Well, I couldn't explain it. Could have been a hang glider, but the area where we found it was not in the area where people normally hang glide. It was in the Seattle, Washington area, normally the hang glide and out east of Seattle. So I also photographed one here in Helena on one of my security cameras. I got four security cameras. They're also weather cameras, and they're also UFO cameras, kind of multifaceted. And I kind of plowed through some still images and saw one. Well, I'm not sure what that is. So I've never seen one, but I could say, well, maybe I've taken a couple photographs.
As well as being with MUFON, you have your, well, I guess it's sort of your own thing, UFOs Northwest. Can you tell us a bit about that, please?
Yes, I've had my website up since 2003. It's www.ufosnw.com. I encourage your listeners or anyone to report UFO sightings to me. I also have another blog called UFO Sightings Montana, which I also take UFO reports. That particular blog speaks for itself. It's exclusively UFO sightings in Montana. It also contains a list of historical UFO cases in Montana. And also another project I'm involved in called the Malta Anomaly Detection Automated Recording, called MADAR Project. And that project, we look at electromagnetic disturbances, magnetic disturbances, which happen in the vicinity of UFOs. So if there's a magnetic disturbance, it'll look at that, the standard deviation of the magnetic field, magnetic flux. In addition, it'll also detect geomagnetic compass variations and barometric pressure fluctuations. In addition to that, I have a real-time Geiger counter that spools data up to a site. So if there's any elevation of background radiation, we'll detect it. So that project I'm also participating in.
Is that equipment that you sort of lug out to a sighting report location then, or are you networking with other people around who have it set up and then relay the information to a central location?
It's sitting on, right by my window. It spools out to a website, and there's a map. There's actually a few sites up in Canada, I believe, and there's several around the world. People can go to that site, just put MADAR, M-A-D-A-R, in your search engine, and you'll be able to look at the readings all around the country, live readings.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, how do you get set up with something like that then?
Anybody can do that. You spend a little bit of money. The guy that does it, that facilitates the whole thing, is Fran Ridge. And Fran has been a longtime UFO investigator since the 50s. The NICAP organization, National Investigation Commission on Aerial Phenomena. It goes back to the 1950s, and Fran's close to 80 years old. He facilitates that. A number of scientists designed this apparatus, and it's known in the vicinity of UFOs to detect UFOs.
Okay, William Puckett, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump wants to send illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities across the country. John Clemens reports.
Mr. Trump has gone on Twitter to confront the radical left over their objections to a plan to transport illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities.
They want more people in their sanctuary cities? Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply.
Mr. Trump said if Democrats don't want to change our very dangerous immigration laws, we're giving strong consideration to placing illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities only. He added the radical left always seems to have an open borders, open arms policy, so this should make them very happy. I'm John Clemens.
President Trump has tweeted, a third summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un could be in the works. Kim has offered the idea of the summit as long as an agreement could be reached by the end of the year. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's continue, folks. William, go ahead, please.
Well, continuing the discussion of MADAR, anyone interested can get on the website and contact Fran. He'd be glad to have you on the network. I mean, he wants sites all over because there's UFO cases all over. And they're coordinating with the National UFO Reporting Center and the Mitchell UFO Network. If they get cases, then they look at reports coming in to those sites, and then they correlate them. So that's how it is handled.
That's with Peter Davenport at Newfork, right?
Yes, so, that's correct.
And then the Mutual UFO Network. You know, back in the 50s here in Canada, we had something called Project Magnet. It sounds like pretty much the same thing. There was a station up here that operated a magnetometer, and they figured that, well, UFOs might have something to do with magnetism. And they had some anomalous readings, but it didn't really pick up anything that could be determined with absolute certainty belonged to some sort of an alien craft.
Also, there's been other projects over Hesselden, Norway, where they've had magnetometers and video cameras. There's a lot of these strange lights that happen over there. And they've detected some correlations, you know, with the cameras and when there's the light phenomena and the, you know, magnetometer readings. The problem with magnetometers is you got to put the device in a location where there's low magnetism. And I have a tri-field meter, and I put one, and you don't want to bump them, or you don't want to run your vacuum cleaner around them. It'll generate an anomaly is what it'll do. So they're very sensitive. So, you know, I've been very careful with mine. I live alone, so I can maintain a good degree of control around it. But
right.
They are sensitive. And
well, I get interference that I can hear through my radio, for example, when an aircraft flies over. Like one of the big ones, they must constantly broadcast some sort of a signal, probably off their transponder or something, I don't know, but you can definitely hear it when they're coming and going. So I imagine that a magnetometer must be able to pick up something like that as well.
Yeah, we haven't had problems with aircraft, but there's other things that can generate magnetic fields. Seismic activity can do it. That's happened. Of course, airplanes could. I just don't believe that that has been a problem with these particular units. I don't know whether they're insulated properly or what. I mean, electromagnetic interference is something I'm quite familiar with because I got a weather station, first order National Institute of Standard Traceable Weather Station, would spool data up the weather underground, and I had a whale of problems with my cordless phones. I had to get rid of my cordless phones because they were causing electromagnetic interference.
Oh, yeah,
with my weather station.
Yeah, they're big EM polluters. But then again, maybe what's happening with the device, the EM sensor that you've got, is it's detecting in a different range, like more along we would think of as your typical magnetism, like when you have two magnets and you touch them together and they stick. That's a little bit different than an EM transmission. So that might be why it's not picking up that sort of interference.
Right. It's picking up magnetic fields. And, I mean, there's always some magnetic field in the background, but it's looking at the standard deviation. The standard deviation gets so high. And then also the compass reading. It's taking a real-time compass reading. If that compass bumps, you know, 10 or 12 degrees, it'll generate an alert. Some of them are so sophisticated, you can actually have that alert thing set up to trigger a camera or even trigger a police scanner. Some people have theirs hooked up to that. I do not, but some people have it more sophisticated. I figure with my Geiger counter and this thing, that's probably good enough. And then I have my own cameras that are monitoring. So if a UFO, if an alert happened, I mean, I can look back on my security camera footage and look and see if anything showed up. So
that would be fabulous if you could get something like that. Our former co-host, Christopher O'Brien, has a project very much like what you're describing called the San Luis Valley Camera Project. And so he's setting up high-definition cameras that can triangulate the position of any type of an object that it picks up. And then he's got it hooked up to some kind of software that can be remotely monitored. And it's quite an excellent project. So, you know, we should actually see if we can get him back sometime, Gene, just to talk about that, if he's making progress with it, too.
Is that the San Luis Valley of Colorado?
Yes, it is.
I'm very familiar with that. I went to graduate school in Colorado, and one of my best friends was from Alamosa, which is the San Luis Valley. But that is a strange area. There's just been a bunch of cattle mutilations and UFO sightings that correlate to cattle mutilations, and that's a very strange area. I can understand why someone would be interested in studying it.
Oh, yeah. Christopher O'Brien, he's a fabulous field investigator and done countless hours and miles out there. But you're with MUFON, so do you have any idea how many members MUFON has now?
I'm not exactly sure. I believe it was a little over 4,000 is what my recollection. Of course, some of those are overseas.
Right.
You know, other countries. That's what it was a few years ago. I'm not sure what it is now. I know here in Montana, we've only got about 20 people that belong to MUFON. So not a lot of people, but I suppose in the realm of things, it probably is the largest civilian organization that investigates UFOs right now. And, you know, there were others. One I just mentioned, NICAP. Another one was called APRIL. Aerial research, aerial phenomena.
I go back to all those places. APRO, I had run-ins with the Lorenzans who ran it, but that was the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, and they referred to UFOs as UAPs. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that. Some people don't like the word UFO, so UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, yes. And actually, another group that I worked with, which is now defunct, called them the same thing, you know, UAPs. They didn't want to list them as UFOs. He didn't like the word UFOs. So,
well, the connotation, yes. Because there's a lot of wackery going on in the UFO field, and you want to appear scientific, you want to separate yourself from the wackery. Would that make sense?
Yes. I mean, there's quite a spectrum of people interested in, that people that claim they've been abducted by aliens, and maybe some of them have, but some cases are just purely anecdotal, and I just have a degree of skepticism when I look at them. But then again, some may not be. I've had discussions with Dr. Leo Sprinkle, a psychologist, PhD psychologist that was associated with the University of Wyoming, and one day I asked Dr. Sprinkle, I said, well, what about mentally ill people? Do you believe them? And he said, well, some mentally ill people may have had some contact, He doesn't discount all those, so you got to be careful, I mean, I've had mentally ill people that are obviously mentally ill, or people high on drugs, hallucinating and then saying they've seen this. But I don't want to discount all of them,
But yeah, in a way, though, that's really irrelevant from the whole decision of whether or not we should be using the acronym UFO or an initialism UAP, because the UFO acronym, that came out of official U.S. Air Force investigations and was invented by the United States Air Force and used in official studies of the project. So really, it makes perfect sense to continue using it in my mind.
We're going to break here. We'll talk more about this and other subjects with Gene Randall and William. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
If you remember, Randall, UFO was originally coined because we talked about them as flying saucers, and you wanted to deride the sightings. Oh, it's a bunch of flying saucers. But if you call them UFO, then, of course, it had the same effect as UAP has now. It made the subject serious, but when UFO took on, in some quarters, not all, the stench of wackery, as I said, I can see where some refer to them as UAP. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you, obviously, but you can see where it comes from.
The whole UAP thing wouldn't bother me if it weren't for this idea that some of the groups that do this, like NARCAP, for example, They're throwing ufology under the bus at the same time as they do it. You say, well, we want to distance ourselves from the UFO quacks by calling ourselves UAP investigators, when in fact UAP is, in their terms, just a euphemism for exactly the same thing. It's just another euphemism for UFO. I don't think it's really fooling anybody, but I guess, you know, if that's what people prefer to use, it's a free enough world. I just think that, after doing a lot of thinking about it, UFO was an official term. It was invented by the United States Air Force. It's perfectly fine to use. It's in the Oxford English Dictionary as a word. So why try to fight it? Let's just go with it. Use it. But that's just my opinion on the thing. I guess whatever works for you is fine. As long as you're not throwing the ufologists under the bus at the same time, like trying to pretend you're better than us because you're investigating UAPs instead of UFOs. And that's where it really starts to get me.
Well, the only group that I worked with, and you just mentioned it, NARCAP, National Reporting Center for Anomalous Phenomena, they're the only group that I've worked with that they told me explicitly when I joined as a research associate to not use the word UFO publicly. With any newscast or anything.
Right. Yeah, that's why I definitely take exception with the way that they're doing that. And especially when they had such high-profile people as Leslie Keene, for example, because what they're trying to do is just set themselves apart as if they're somehow better or more credible than serious ufologists. And it's just not the case. I mean, they worked with J. Allen Hynek, for example, the same as QFOs did. And J. Allen Hynek was the one who wrote the UFO experience, right? Not the UAP experience. But anyway, we're getting into jargon and I guess that's one of my little pet peeves. We don't want to necessarily rant on about that. This show isn't about me. It's about you.
Now, to correct what I said before, APRO used the term UAO, unidentified aerial object. They wanted to separate themselves from the pack. But in practical language, UAO or UAP, who cares?
I believe that Captain Edward Ruppelt from Project Blue Book is the one that actually coined the word UFO. And, of course, he wrote some books on UFOs, too. And then the last book he wrote, he debunked everything because he was a contractor and he wanted to get a contract with the Air Force. But the real Captain Edward Ruppelt was a firm UFO believer. But also, your listeners, I'd like to briefly mention the History Channel series Project Blue Book. That's been fantasized a lot for Hollywood. At the end, they would talk about the real case, but they definitely have put a X-Files spin on that show to make it more attractive. And it was a good series. I don't know whether it'll come back. Its first season's already over, but people ought to know that a lot of that stuff is they're putting on there is definitely not true.
It did get pretty good ratings. It was among the top 10 or 15 cable shows.
I can believe
that. For its time slot. So I think that's a guaranteed renewal. But the one thing I liked about the fact that the Hynek family is involved, they understand what it is, and Joel Hynek was Dr. J. Allen Hynek's, I think his oldest son, he's an Academy Award-winning special effects expert also, by the way. He said his father would have loved it. So the thing is here, if you can bring people into the subject with an entertainment show and then at the end say, hey, this is what really happened, you're not putting on air to anybody. This is fiction. Nobody's pretending it's anything else. The thing I have a problem with is when you have certain reality shows that purport to be factual, and they distort the facts. If you have a sci-fi drama or a historical drama, and it's done honestly, that's a different thing.
That's true. It's good that at least at the end that they put on the real story, you know, what case they're, specific case they're talking about, whether it was the green fireballs or the Lubbock lights. Those are all real cases, you know, they looked into. And this sci-fi spin was definitely there. And I could see where it would do good in the ratings. I mean, I didn't miss an episode myself. They were entertaining.
I think you're absolutely right about Ruppelt, who being the one to bring in the acronym UFO. He'd run across a couple of references to unidentified flying objects in some of the reports that he was reading while he was setting up the United States Air Force program. And so he decided to just reduce that down to the acronym, and then it became a word. So you can use it as a word in and of itself, and rather than as, you know, the three capital letters, it can just be UFO, the UFO, which I kind of like, you know, the term UFO, kind of a classic way of pronouncing the word. But you've also been involved yourself in some more recent cases and the stuff that was going on just back in the 50s and 60s. I noticed on your website it says that you did some analytical work on the O'Hare airport incident back in November 7th, 2006. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Right. That case I got involved with when Dr. Richard Haynes, who now has resigned from NARCAP, but NARCAP got that case, and we got it from National UFO Reporting Center, Peter Davenport, because the United Airlines dispatcher reported the case to Peter Davenport, and subsequently John Hilgovich with the Chicago Tribune wrote a major article about it a few months after the fact, and he interviewed some of the witnesses, as did Peter Davenport and Dr. Richard Haynes. My involvement with that was twofold. One was with the meteorological data, and two was radar data. Over the years, I've developed my own expertise with aviation radar data, and I had expertise beforehand with weather radar. There are different types of radar, but both of them can detect UFOs. And, of course, to refresh your listeners, I mean, essentially what happened was United Airlines ramp personnel saw this flying disc hovering above the C concourse, and they reported it to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher subsequently called the tower. The tower didn't see it, and the reason we figure they didn't see it is there's too much overhang in the tower, and it was hovering. It wasn't moving. And they moved one of the aircraft to the hangar, and people moving the aircraft saw this flying disc shoot straight up. It was overcast skies, fairly low overcast. I believe the cloud base, my recollection was at around 1,000 feet, maybe 1,200 feet. And it blew a hole right in the clouds. And the hole sat there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. And allegedly there were photos taken. I've seen some. You don't know whether they're authentic or not. Allegedly, even one of the United Airlines pilots stuck his head out the window of the airplane on the Sea Concourse and snapped a video and photo of it. But I've never really seen any photos that could be authenticated. So we looked at radar data, and the aviation radar did not show anything in the vicinity of where the people saw it. But there's a good reason for it. Aviation radar is set to detect moving targets. And there's a device threshold set by the operator called moving target indicator. And generally, I believe they set it to 20 or 30 knots. So anything moving slower than 20 or 30 knots, it won't pick anything up. Well, there's a good reason for it. You only want to pick up moving targets. You don't want to pick up stationary objects because they'll cloud your radar screen. So aviation radar didn't pick up anything. But weather radar did pick up a blip about a quarter of a mile in the vicinity during the time span.
I'll tell you what, we got a break in here. We'll continue in our next segment. William Puckett, real scientist and exploring UFOs with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.